Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 32, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have a returning guest,
Greg from St. Louis, Missouri.
And we are both insane because we are on vacation in the Caribbean on a cruise ship and having a great time. And I am podcasting. I have lost my mind.
Yeah, I think you have. You really have. It's pretty much over for you now.
I can't help it, man. I saw some television on the way to, you know, the week before the big vacation, and I felt like I wanted to podcast about it, so I'm going to anyway. How I get this podcast to you will be a miracle in internet something or other. We'll see.
Yeah. You're going to have to take a loan out of your 401k in order to upload it, because it's going to be expensive.
I know. I was thinking about that. Or you'll be getting it a little bit late, one of the two. The news that I have that I watched right before I got on the ship was that the Hulk TV, they're going to do a new Hulk TV series. And if you add that to the Wonder Woman TV series that I think I reported like last week, it looks like we're about to be inundated with a bunch of superheroes on the small screen as well as the large screen, which scares me a little bit because, I mean, when are the people... Like, for me, I'm a big sci-fi geek, so I can never have too much of the superheroes. I love it. Keep it coming. But I'm afraid that the muggles or the mundanes will tire of this stuff very soon, and then we're not going to have it anymore. I'd rather keep it paced lackadaisically and keep getting it versus going overboard and then we don't have it anymore. But right now they don't know a show. They don't have a showrunner name. They just know that they want to do a Hulk TV series, and they want to keep it canon with the movies.
You know, I'd have to really look at the dates. But didn't the original TV series, Incredible Hulk, and the original TV series Wonder Woman run at the same time?
I don't think so.
Oh, they did. Okay.
I think Wonder Woman was before. I did watch both of them, but I recall watching Wonder Woman in repeat, and I watched the Hulk live.
Oh, okay.
as a kid, if I recall correctly. I don't have access to the internet, so I cannot check this information. Anyway, so that's pretty much all the news. There are no new series that have been canceled as of yet. Outlaw still on hold, though I really doubt it's going to make it to a second season. There's a bunch of shows that have really low ratings, which scares me, so they're on my watch list for cancellation. Which is actually The Good Guys. I love that show, and it doesn't look like it's going to make it. So, sadness. Anyway, so let's move on to the show. This podcast actually should be shorter than normal. One, because there's only two of us here. Plus, we didn't get to watch Supernatural on Friday because we were getting on the cruise ship. So.
And our hotel actually did not have the CW. Can you believe it?
Yes. We rushed back to the hotel to watch Supernatural, and it wasn't on. So, anyway. Sadness. So let's go with the rest of the week. First up is House. So what'd you think?
Oh, House. I don't know how they're able to continually make this show interesting because we all know what's going to happen. We all know that there's going to be a patient brought in with some illness and they're going to go through iterations of trying to figure out what it is and they're going to make the wrong decision and it's going to almost kill the patient. And then right at the end, House is going to have an epiphany. And he's going to solve the whole thing.
Right, but that's not what House is about to me. That's not why I watch House.
So you watch it for the other, I guess, the character stories?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because if I watched it for that, I would have stopped watching it years ago.
Right.
This week's...
But that's really what gives it the suspense. I mean, the medical
part. No, it doesn't.
Sure it does. I mean,
dude, you know, like you said, you just described it. Every single week, they misdiagnose the person until the last 5 minutes of the episode, then House figures out what it is, and he solves it. And it's never lupus, and it's never cancer.
Well, sometimes they die, and sometimes they don't. They have died before.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's not why I watch the show. I watch the show for the shenanigans that House does during that process, and what's going on with the relationships. And so this week, I don't remember anything that happened with the patient at all. All I remember is that House sucked as a boyfriend, because he's talking to Cuddy, and they're in bed together, and she leaves, and he's like, oh, it's good timing, because I'm getting my massage later. And he makes it sound like he's joking, but then as Cuddy leaves, the masseuse comes in, and she's like, what, huh? And then finds out that the masseuse is a hooker, and she has a problem, and House doesn't understand why she has a problem. Like, dude, really? You don't know why your girlfriend has a problem that you're seeing a hooker for a masseuse? And so his brilliant solution is to give her a hooker, though he's a gay hooker, to give her a massage. And she's like, as soon as she finds it out, she's like, stop touching me. But I thought that he got an F in the boyfriend category on that one.
Well, I think he made a valid point. I mean, because she was, her argument in the whole situation was that he wasn't ready to go to the next step because he wasn't ready to give up, I guess, whatever his old relationships were. And yet she was also not willing to go the next step, which was
right.
For a house to really be a part of her kid's life.
And that's true, but I don't know how much he really wanted to be a part of the kid's life because they showed him at the end with the kid, and he's like, you are so not interesting.
Hey, you gotta take the good with the bad in any relationship, I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's serious about Cuddy, but I think having the baby there is gonna be... I don't think he really knows what to do with that.
It's a new dynamic.
Yeah, and they had the new doctor that... Chase wanted to sleep with.
Oh, that's right.
Which he kept denying. He's like, why does everybody think I want to sleep with her? Because we all know you, Chase. That's why.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he tries to sleep with her.
Yep.
So, yes. He stayed true to form.
Yeah. Before he was going to tell her that she really did have a job, he was going to sleep with her before he told her that she was really hired.
Well, the thing is he saw her, saw she was pretty, and stopped paying attention to her resume.
Right.
And that's what everybody kept telling him. It was like, dude, you didn't hire her because she was brilliant. You hired her because you thought that she was pretty.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, House does that too, but he usually also makes sure that you're a good doctor because he doesn't want dead weight. He makes sure that you're actually pretty intelligent. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, Chase gets an F.
Well, and I guess I'm the only one who still pays attention to the patient story that's going on.
I don't even know what happened at all.
Well, it just seemed, I mean, I guess this week seemed even less plausible than any of the other stories, mainly because her whole problem was she was withholding the fact that she was schizophrenic. It was like every single time they were trying to get some information out of her about
she
her
lied.
Condition, she lied.
Right.
You know, and it was...
Well, it goes to the whole house, everybody lies.
Yeah, but it got to the point where it just got stupid because she's about to die and she still isn't telling anyone. I mean, because she could have tried to tell the doctors in confidence or something, you know, so their
boyfriend... That's true.
I mean, it just didn't make any sense until
she's... schizophrenic.
Yeah, she's about to keel over at the end of the episode. She's seeing things. Although the special effects were kind of cool. The table on fire and then she's looking and the wall started bubbling like
right.
She was on LSD or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I wasn't moved by that. I still forgot about it and didn't pay any attention. All right, next up, we're going to talk about Lie to Me. We haven't talked about that in quite a while. This week's episode was... Lightman is supposed to be writing a book. He got an advance of like $1 million to write a book. And it's been 2 years and he hasn't written a page. And so the company that gave him the advance were like, you either give us a book or we want our money back. So now he doesn't have the money because the company is strapped for cash.
Right.
So now he's like, all right, I got to write something. And he's struggling with that. So that's the interesting thing. But that actually leads him to his procrastination, which was following Foster to that beauty pageant, which was bizarre. But they always make beauty pageants for children seem a little bizarre anyway.
Yeah.
So, I thought the case this time was halfway decent. The girl had... I thought she was easy to read and difficult to read at the same time. She was very stoic, yet the little smiles that she stuck in were pretty good. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? What do you think about the show? Because I think you said you missed this week's episode, but I rarely get to talk to somebody on the podcast who's actually watched Lie to Me.
Yeah, I was watching the show on and off because I was trying to get ready for the trip, but I did see, I guess, the main plot points, which were that the dad got wrongly accused.
Right.
Mainly because that the girl was reading the mom's diary and she was, like, acting out things.
And also she knew that the mom had dated that guy, and so she wanted the mother to suffer. So almost all her actions were based on making her mother suffer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she had this whole masochist thing where she liked to watch other people in pain. So she would do all these random things to see other people in pain.
And then she would also sabotage the pageant, or sabotage herself in the pageant. Like she tripped and fell on purpose, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but that was still more about watching her mom be upset than anything else. But I thought the Lightman stuff was pretty good. Him figuring, reading her and figuring this stuff out. But also, Loker is trying to get a new job. And they were making parallels between how the mom was misusing or abusing her daughter compared to how Lightman abuses Loker. And it was pretty, it's pretty serious parallels there because Lightman treats Loker really badly. He really does. So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, lie to me, I love the show. Every week the cases to me, unlike House, the cases are always different, and you don't know where the story is gonna go. And so I really like that about the show. All right, moving on, Chuck. What do you think?
Oh, Chuck was fun. They brought back the Costa Gravis story again. So the main dictator of Costa Gravis decides to come back where are they in California?
Burbank.
Burbank. Decides to come back to Burbank to find Awesome.
And you know what's so funny about the whole Buy More in Burbank? I live very close to Burbank. And so that Buy More / Best Buy, I actually know which one they're talking about. So it always makes me smile. And I go there all the time. But that's beside the point.
All right. Yeah, so apparently they're having this big party in Costa Gravis. And since...
You're talking about the Awesome statue?
Yeah, yeah. So they decide to give a tribute to Awesome. And there's like a 12-foot statue of him.
That is fantastic.
Yes, in Costa Gravis waiting for him. Was it Awesome and Chuck's sister, yeah. His wife, are having, what do they call it, a baby moon?
Right, because you have the big vacation before you have the baby, because once you have the baby, you basically, everything is about the baby for the next, like, 5 or 6 years. So right. They're doing their big vacation before they have all these responsibilities, which totally makes sense. Though, strangely, I saw some other show where they had a baby moon, and I can't remember what that was. Mm. But yeah, I liked it. I liked the fact that, Chuck got to show off his spy skills in front of his sister, and she still thought that he wasn't a spy anymore. And that was pretty cool to see him in action. Of course, I like the whole Casey and his daughter Alex, and I like Morgan dating the daughter, and I can't wait for those fireworks. Those are gonna be great.
That's fun. That's a funny line. What I guess I'm getting a little tired of is the whole Chuck-Sarah relationship.
You and me both. Yeah. I don't care about Chuck and Sarah together anymore. I think I cared about it maybe in second season. Maybe first season, second season I cared a little bit. But now it's like their issues are so boring and mundane. And they're making it so front and center, yeah. Too. That's the other thing. So.
Yeah, it's like all their dialogue that they have with each other is basically, you know... We're having communication problems, or why won't you move in with this? Why can't we move to the next level of that? You know, that sort of thing. I know that's typical relationship stuff, but I just don't care to see it on, you know, every week. I just don't care to see it. Yeah.
If they spread it out, it wouldn't be so bad. But yeah, literally every week, I'm bored.
I did, though, like the fact that they kind of paralleled, I guess, whatever problems that that Chuck and Sarah were going through with the problems that the dictator Costa Gravis and his wife were going through, of course. His wife got mad and decided to
take over the country,
stage a coup. And just by talking through some of their differences, they made a parallel of working it out. And they also seem to, right at the end, tie it back into the main storyline, which I kind of like too, because the missile system that was in the basement of the palace tied back into the Russian guy that apparently worked with Chuck's mom.
Right.
So at first I thought this entire episode was going to go completely through without really tying it back to the main storyline.
Then the preview for next week looks pretty good, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Castle. Castle was a good episode this week. The best scene in the entire episode, of course, was when they walked into that club where everybody was like old-timey yet new-age tech. Yeah. There's a name for that. I can't think of what the name is.
Yeah, that was visually incredible.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, the old outfits, and then they had stuff with like it was steampunk. It was like steampunk futuristic. So all that stuff was really really cool. All those costumes were incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really liked that.
And it kind of made me wonder, is there really an underground? Is there really a
steampunk? There is a steampunk. There are steampunk groups. I don't know if they have a cool club like that, but there are groups that like steampunk. But I thought that was fantastic to watch just visually. And then I liked the whole bit when they were trying to figure out whether the friend killed his buddy on purpose or whether it was an accident. So they got that whole firing range and they were firing those flintlocks, and they literally couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, how did people in the olden times shoot each other?
And the cop kept going over and like correcting Castle. I was like, no, you shoot at your target.
He's like, I'm trying.
Then he put like a, you know,
the laser thing on there. All that stuff was great to just show that it's like impossible to be accurate with those things.
Yeah. How did people duel back
then? That's what I'm saying. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it was just shooting wherever it wanted to shoot. So that was all good.
Then it kind of makes you wonder if, okay. Okay, they couldn't shoot straight with a flintlock, but the person who actually killed him had modified a rifle to shoot
right.
The bullet,
right? So that's why he could shoot straight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you have to modify your barrel to shoot those round. They didn't call, round bullets. They had a name for them. I forgot now.
Lead balls.
Yes, lead ball. Round lead balls. There you go.
Round lead balls.
And the humor between Castle and Beckett, as opposed to Sarah and Chuck, really, really works. Like, I really like the humor. I like the chemistry. But then again, they're not. There's that whole, now that the Sarah and Chuck are in an established relationship, it's boring. I've seen shows where people become an established relationship and it's not boring. And I have a feeling that Beckett and Castle would be one of those couples. Because I just find they're just funny together.
Well, but, okay, here was kind of the frustrating thing, though, about that episode was, I mean, when we watched last season, we kind of want them to get together. And then Beckett's dating the
guy from Battlestar.
The guy from Battlestar, and then finally at the end, she finally realizes that she wants him. But then he goes off with
his ex-wife.
You know, so now it seems like we're doing the same thing because she's got this new love interest apparently.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. But I mean, her thing is she didn't tell anybody. It's just not surprising that we didn't know about him. But as far as we know, why shouldn't she date this other random guy? Mainly because, as far as we know, again, Castle is still dating his ex-wife. He never stopped dating her. So, it makes sense. Yeah. But I agree with you. I feel like their relationship hasn't had any forward momentum.
Well, yeah, I think it's just the age-old thing. They try to do the sexual tension over and over and over again. And then if the guy and the girl finally get together, then the show isn't as exciting anymore. And we're seeing that with Chuck.
That's true, but I think some shows can do it and some shows can't, and I just think Chuck has just failed. Epic fail on their part.
Wow.
Sorry, it's the way I feel.
It's kind of harsh.
All right, the next show I want to talk about is Glee.
Glee is all you.
Well, I know you have some sort of issue with Glee and singing and dancing, but...
No, okay. Well, we were talking about this before. I just don't understand how a group of people can sing other people's songs and record other people's songs and get famous for it. You know, it's like, okay, like cover bands, you know, you go out to a bar or a club, cover bands, they make no money. But these people can actually record other people's songs and tour singing other people's songs and make money. I don't get it.
Well, they pay the bands first. You have to pay them off.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they got to pay royalties, but still.
That's true. But they do tour and people come to see them. But,
yeah, it's a bad knockoff.
They have a storyline as well as the song. So sometimes the storyline is good. Sometimes the songs are good. Usually it doesn't work in combination. This week's episode actually was one of the rare ones where the storyline actually was working and it worked well with what they were doing musically, which was duets. So everybody paired off to do a duet. And at the same time, they got a new member of the Glee Club. Is the blonde kid, Sam, I think his name was. And so they want him to feel welcome in Glee Club because Glee Club are outcasts and they get treated like geeks and nerds. They get slushied, where people walk up to them and throw a slushie in their face. So they wanted him to feel welcome before he got beat up by other people in the school, which was kind of what and what, because he got slushied about midway through the episode. But they wanted him to win the duet so that he would feel accomplished and want to stay in Glee Club. So it's just like they had Rachel and her boyfriend Finn. They did their duet, and it was a pretty good one, but they were like, we have to be bad because we want him to win, so we obviously can't do a good song, and we have no ability to lose on our own. I was like, guys, you're really not that good. Like, I think that Rachel thinks she's way better than she is. Finn is not that good at all, actually, on his own, but Rachel is good, but I actually thought, watching all the duets, if I had to vote, I personally would have picked Kurtz, who actually didn't do a duet exactly. He did a song from Victor Victoria where he was half man and half woman. So you remember Victor Victoria?
Long time ago.
Well, there's a song where they do a big split where half wearing a dress and half wearing a tuxedo kind of deal.
Okay.
And so
very Annie Lennox sort of.
It was pretty. It was really pretty good. I mean, well, this was before Annie Lennox. Victor Victoria was earlier, but anyway. Well, maybe not. Anyway, so I thought Kurt's performance was probably the best, followed by, I probably would say, Mercedes had a really good one. So I actually was kind of annoyed that Rachel and Finn were like, oh, our performance is so good, we have to do something really bad so that they don't vote for us. Which was, they just did a very inappropriate version of a song that I can't remember. They were basically dressed as a priest and a nun doing a love song.
Ooh, that's not good.
No, it was very inappropriate, and they did it on purpose because they said the only way that they could lose was if they did a bad song or a bad performance, which I thought was just really ridiculous. But anyway, the whole point was that Sam and Quinn actually did a duet, and their duet was decent, but I actually didn't think it was the best one. I thought it was all right, but everybody voted for them, so they got to win, and now apparently they're starting to date, and I don't really care because, I mean, he's pretty. But I actually liked Kurt's idea. Kurt thought he was gay. And I was agreeing with Kurt. I was like, yeah, he's giving off the gay vibes. But apparently he likes Quinn. And I'm like, eh, now I don't care anymore. So I thought it was a pretty good episode of Glee. Thumbs up. The next one we're going on to is Caprica.
And I'm back.
What'd you think?
So I'm back for Caprica. You know, the first season was, I was basically watching each episode because of my allegiance to Battlestar, because the first season didn't really pull me in. I mean, there were some elements that were kind of cool, you know, introducing the folks from Toron and, kind of, I guess, the background of what their lives are like and the whole mob and the whole thing. That was
Really like the Toron background.
Yeah, but the whole thing with the... It seemed like every episode where he's playing with the Cylon, you know, and, like, trying to set her on fire.
Actually, the one where he set her on fire was a fantastic episode.
Oh, you liked that?
Oh, I loved it.
I was, like, bored off my... Yeah.
When he circled in fire and was like, if you're really Zoe, then you'll walk out of the fire. That was fantastic.
Yeah. But I think they're doing a really good job of adding more action. So this episode I thought was really exciting because they actually take us to Geminon, which is great.
That was last week, though.
Oh, that was last week? Oh, okay. Well, last week they took us to Geminon. This week, they actually have a botched terrorism attempt.
Right.
On the spaceport.
But actually, it wasn't a terrorism attempt. It was actually, he was trying to kill... What's her name? The woman.
Clarice.
He was trying to kill Clarice. She was coming back through the spaceport, so he was trying to blow it up while she was there.
He was going to kill her there. Okay. Yeah. But she ends up, she's outsmarted everyone, so she took care of him, blew him up.
Oh, I miss my Mr. Marsters.
No, that's fine. I did not like his character, Barnabas. Barnabas is gone. Spoiler alert, by the way, in case you haven't seen it.
No, well, I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, then we're assuming you've seen it, so don't worry about that.
And the way she proceeds to go about dispatching all of the other people who have crossed her. Followers was fantastic. She just like...
The only reason she hasn't killed Lacey is because of her connection to Zoe.
Right, because she thinks she has some information on apotheosis.
Right.
That she can use. So, I love the television in the bathtub was great, was classic. That was great.
I really hate Clarice a lot.
What?
I hate her. I really, really do.
Wow.
The only thing that's interesting to me about This is, I'm hoping that the wife kills her. Because now the wife knows. Because I like the cop. I actually like the cop. But I don't feel like they've given him a seriously solid enough storyline. I like that actor. I think he gives him interesting flavor. So I want to see where they're going with that. And I like that he told the wife what was going on. And so now she's got the gun and she's thinking about whether or not she's going to kill Clarice. And I was like, do it!
No, they can't do that.
Oh, hate her.
Well, you never know. As soon as I think a character can't, you know, go away, they kill the character. So,
and that would be fantastic. I've been waiting for Clarice to die for quite a while.
No, we got to see what's going to happen with all of
this.
Well,
I know that they're not going to actually kill her, but I do like the little board meeting that they were having between Grayson and the Adamas, where they were figuring out how to do the vote and blackmail everybody, and that one dude was like, screw it, and he shot himself. Like, all that was really good.
Yeah.
So, I like that. Yeah, and I want to see the coup where he takes the company back over.
Yeah, he's really gotten dark.
That's what I love. I love just, all of that.
I mean, I'm watching it, and I'm just like, wow, he can't come back from this.
Well, and the thing is, thing about it is, because you watch Battlestar, he goes down in history as a villain. Greystone does. And his father, by association, with Greystone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So I remember. So this totally makes sense to me, and I'm like, this is great. Like, that's the stuff, the stuff with the Taurons and Greystone taking his company back. Like, all that stuff, I love. The stuff with Clarice, I don't care. STO, I don't care. Seeing that the Cylons now have the memory of Zoe. It got copied into each one of their, like, artificial intelligence. Right. That's why they believe in the one God now. I think that's great. Like, all that's pretty good. And I'm waiting for the big rebellion-esque little stuff to start. I think that'll be fun. So, yeah. I think the second half... This is actually the second half of first season. This actually isn't second season.
Oh.
They split first season in half. So, we got, like, the first 10 episodes back in January. And now these are the second 10.
Oh, okay. So this is season 1.5.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to Big Bang Theory. This was the one, which one was this?
There was a lot of things going on.
Oh, it was the imaginary, faux sex with,
yes, with,
Wolowitz.
Yes.
Wolowitz was having, setting his mood. I was like, and then the lightsabers came on, like he was setting the mood in his room, and he turns off the lights, and a spotlight comes onto his bed, and then the lightsabers come on. I was like, dude, really?
That was geek. That was great. That's his nightlight, I guess.
Yeah, but that was all setting the mood to his imagination.
Yeah.
And Katie Sackhoff in her flight gear, was great. Oh, and you got to do your line.
Oh my!
No, it's not just the oh my. It was the whole like, oh, you must have some latent homosexuality.
You know, then why am I here?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
No, so it's really Wolowitz. I guess Wolowitz is seeing Sheldon and his girlfriend that he says is not a girlfriend.
Right.
And so he's kind of getting lonely again and decides he wants to get back with his ex-girlfriend.
Because how they split up was crazy.
Yeah.
He was having sex online with a troll who happened to be the janitor.
Yeah, because they didn't really explain that. It was like all of a sudden they weren't dating anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah, they didn't explain that.
Yeah, they didn't.
But then when they explained it now, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, so he's having sex with a troll in a video game. So that apparently offended her.
I kind of see why.
Really?
Well, it
from a female point of view, if your boyfriend was playing a video game and he was in the video game, he was having sex with another character, that would kind of offend you.
Yeah, because especially it would be different if it was a non-player character and it was part of the game. Like Mass Effect has sex scenes.
Okay.
That would be fine because that's part of the game.
Okay.
You can start a relationship with a character and have sex with that character, but it's not real. The difference is when you're playing a role-playing game and you're playing with real people, the person on the other line is a real person.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. It was a multiplayer game.
Right.
That was actually a real person.
It was a real person and that he was having online sex with. Then I'm offended.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And it happened to be someone at the university or something. Yeah.
And it was like the guy, big fat guy janitor dude. Yeah. Yes. And he, and the look on his face was like, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I told, and then she asked him why, and he was like, well, because I didn't have a real woman. And she was like, exactly, what am I, chopped liver? So, and I liked, Katie Sackhoff and,
George Takei.
Thank you. Giving them advice from the back seat that, while he's making out with her.
That was funny, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they didn't just have them appear once in the show. I'm glad they made a reappearance toward the end.
Yeah, that was all good. That was and funny. Then, of course, we had our pranks by Kuthar Pali and Sheldon, where they were pranking each other. Do you remember that? There was, oh, like, Kuthar Pali put that huge desk in the office.
Yeah.
And he was like, my point was to tick you off. And he's like, successful! And so then they're pranking each other back and forth. So all that was cute. But yeah, the main storyline was Wolowitz. So, thumbs up. I like it. Yeah. Wolowitz, I used to hate Wolowitz. And I really like him. I have to give him credit for really developing his character in a really interesting way.
Although you had a problem with the robot hand episode.
Well, that's because I thought it was silly. And I was like, what guy would... Well, I understand what guy would want to... It would occur to them to do that, but what guy would actually put a robot hand on his sensitive bits?
Typically no one, except if you're by yourself and no one's watching, you'd be surprised what people will do.
Yes, but then he did it twice.
Yeah, well, that I think that was more the writers, maybe.
Alright, so the last show, unfortunately, we're going to talk about is Fringe, because Vampire Diaries was a repeat this week, and I was not happy at all.
And I have not been sucked into Vampire Diaries, but everyone is saying that it's fantastic, and I'm getting hearsay from all over the place. And I mean, I saw the pilot at Comic-Con, and so I didn't think it was bad when I saw the pilot.
I thought the pilot was bad.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I didn't think it was bad, but I was just like, oh, okay, probably teenage girls would like this. You know, it's like the brooding, you know, self-loathing vampire, who, you know. It was kind of a Twilight thing that they kind of twisted into a series.
Bad advertisement. Actually, it's its own book series of novels. Vampire Diaries has their own novels, so not like they were copying Twilight. The novels already exist. And now I actually want to read them, which is scary. But there you go. Anyway,
they got you.
Yes, they do. All right, so we're going to move on to Fringe, and I love the idea of what they're doing this season, which is switching back and forth between the alternate reality and our reality and just going back and forth with it. I think that is fantastic. They're doing a really good job, especially for someone such as myself who has not really loved Anna Torv as Olivia, and I really like all the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually made me like her this season. Just the depth of the kind of character that she's having to play, I find really interesting. They're doing a great job with her. So, thumbs up. This week's episode, we are in our universe, and we've been chasing shapeshifters, because they find a shapeshifter who gets killed, or he gets hit by a car, and so they try to retrieve him and kill him and erase all his memory banks or whatever, and then Walter figures out how to reactivate him, and the creepiest scene ever is when the wife has to come in and try to talk to him as the corpse.
Yeah.
That was freaky.
That was creepy, yeah.
And then he, like, wakes up for a second and starts yelling these numbers. I was like, run away.
That was, Oh, and then Walter is sitting over there when they're trying to see if they can find out where the memories are stored, and they're monitoring everything. And he's like, and she's talking to him. It's like, okay, I don't know if that's enough. It's like, try giving him a soft stroke and a tickle. And Broyles was like, I don't think so.
All of that was really, really good. I thought Walter, the thing that trips me out is John Noble knocks it out of the park, because he manages on this side of the universe to have this level of insanity and innocence.
Yeah, like he, in the middle of a lecture, and
starts taking his clothes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got this weird, bizarre innocence, and then he's always high, everything, and it's just like,
Don't eat my pudding.
Yes, he's like, I've had this brilliant idea, don't eat my pudding. He's just all over the place, but then when you see him as Secretary of Defense or State or whatever he is in the alternate universe, he's super cold, he's super serious, he's obviously brilliant, and he's scary.
Yeah.
So, hats off, that man is rocking it.
What did he say in the last episode? That he went to visit one of the scientists, and they said something like, So how did it feel, like, you know, not being a scientist anymore or something? He goes, I'm still a scientist. And he goes, just for the whole world.
He's like, my lab is now the entire planet.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, yeah, he's still super scary. And I like it. This week's the main crisis was that Olivia, or alternate Olivia, is in a really interesting bind where she's really in the middle trying to help out the shapeshifters while she's trying not to blow her cover with everyone else. And it's really interesting to watch her do this. But I have to say that was the creepiest sex scene I ever saw. At the end, where you have Olivia, or faux alternate Olivia, having sex with Peter, because it gave me the creeps. Mainly because you know the only reason she's having sex with Peter is to throw him off the scent, because he's obviously figured out something's wrong. And because he's basically,
really?
Yeah.
Really, you think so? I mean, you don't think there's anything there?
Oh, no.
You don't think so?
Okay. Oh, absolutely not.
I was kind of thinking, because, I mean, it seemed like she was... Because I guess their relationship had just kind of started.
No, but that was the real Olivia.
Yeah, and with the real Olivia, their relationship had just kind of started. So the fact that the fake Olivia has kind of like been advancing it so much has been kind of surprising. Because even the real Olivia, I would think she would probably be, she, you know, in her crisis moments, she'd be drawn to Peter, but then she would be cold again.
Well, and that's the thing, is the only reason she had sex with him was because he said, I've been making excuses for you because you're different. Ever since we came back, you've been acting differently, and I've been making up excuses for you. And he was just starting to say why and what he thought about it, and then he got interrupted. So she knew that her cover was almost going to be blown, so how does she cover that? She has sex with him.
Yeah, but I think that's really going to blow her cover. Because well, yeah. I don't think the real Olivia would have done that.
Well, and that's the thing. Well, the thing is the only...
And she's smiling too much.
Yes. I also think that... She has him distracted, though.
Oh, okay.
Because he's now distracted. Yeah, he's now...
That's definitely going to be a distraction.
Exactly. He's now distracted by the sex, so he's not thinking about, oh, this can't be the real Olivia. He's not... He's going to actually make more excuses.
Okay, so her quest is to make him fall in love with her so that he's...
So he's not suspicious.
Yeah.
And her whole thing is, she has to get him to build the Doomsday device on this side of the universe. So he has to build it. He puts himself in it and destroys this world.
Mm.
So that's her only use for him. But I like the switching back and forth. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I really, really do. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, and I guess another surprising thing was the shapeshifters who go in and they take the place of these other people. I guess before... I only saw them take the place of the other person, kill the other person, just so they could get a specific job done.
And then they switch again.
Yeah, but these are almost like, the ones that we saw in this episode were like sleeper agents, where they replace someone, but they're living their lives. They're
right.
With their families and stuff, and so now it's backfiring because they're developing feelings and relationships for the people that they're around.
Hence the title, which is Do Shapeshifters Dream of Electric Sheep?
Right.
Which I thought was a great, brilliant title. And went really well with the episode. So, yeah, I thought that was a really good episode. I thumbs up. Fringe hasn't had a bad episode yet this season. I've been very impressed.
I hope they revisit that element. But, hey, I wanted to ask you, I guess when the whole situation, when the shapeshifter... was dressed up as a cop and he was going to go try to kill the other shapeshifter before Walter was able to extract the information, and then you see Walter get on the elevator. But then you see the guy pull out the little three-pronged thing. I kind of thought that he had taken Walter's shape when he came out of the elevator.
And they wanted you to think that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you did too or not.
I had a minute moment of fear, but I was like, they're not going to do that. Because there's no way to take that back. Because then you wouldn't have Walter anymore. So that'd be like they would kill Walter, which I was like, they're not going
to
kill Walter.
Right, yeah. I was like, well, yeah, I was like, they would have to make an exception. Somehow he'd have to take Walter's shape without killing him, and I don't know if they've ever done that.
Yeah. I was like, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Probably not.
All right, this was our it wasn't extra short, but it was one of the shorter versions of the podcast that we've done. So next week will be post-vacation, and we're going to do that podcast at the end of the week next week. Things are going on repeat for some reason. I'm not sure why, but there you go. So we won't be covering necessarily everything, so we're only covering the new stuff.
Oh, and postseason baseball, World Series.
Yeah. Boo. I've always hated baseball for that reason. All right. Anyway, if you have any questions or feedback, hit us up at tvcampfire@gmail.com. And remember to follow us on Twitter at tvcampfire and check us out on Facebook. All right. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Signing off from the Atlantic Ocean.